I'm going to encourage everybody to take out a Bible at this moment and open them up to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we are going to begin this morning's sermon at really the end of the Bible. And encourage everybody to take out a Bible, follow along like I know you will do. As we get started, you know, there are a thousand things that you want to say. I haven't been here in 2 years, and so many things that you want to say, and I'll just say this. I saw, right before services, I saw Zach Tinsley. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I saw him come and sit down, and I remember the first time that I ever got up in front of this particular church, all those many years ago. I think it was for a Wednesday night invitation. And as I started talking, Zach, who was a young little boy at that time, just popped his head up, turned to his mom, and said, "That's Curtis!" So, don't do that this time, okay? Okay, I appreciate that. Anyway, so very thankful to be with you all this morning. Very thankful for the opportunity to be here with you all. Let's go ahead and read Revelation 22, starting in verse 12 all the way through the end of the chapter. Starting in verse 12, Jesus says this as he's closing out the book of Revelation and, in fact, the entire Bible. He says this, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You know, oftentimes, we will end a sermon, end a Wednesday night invitation, we'll say something along the lines of this: "If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing." We'll say something along those lines. And very common, something that we absolutely should do. But we were in a gospel meeting recently, and something the preacher said made me think about something. It popped a thought into my head. He asked the question, do we really know what we mean when we say that? Because if you've been in the church as long as I have, and, you know, I grew up here, and, you know, that's something we said at least 3 times a week, if not more. It may become one of those things that you hear people say, and it's something people say. You forget what it means. And maybe there are people here this morning that don't know what that means. And maybe there are people here that have forgotten what that means. And if you haven't, if you know what that means, if you haven't forgotten what that means, this is going to be a good refresher, because this is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about what this means. We're going to talk about the invitation. We're going to talk about the invitation. And there's several things that we're going to talk about. I've divided it up into 3 different slides. First is this question. I want us to answer, just consider a number of different things together. And this is one of them. I want us to consider who is actually doing the inviting, in the invitation. When we say that, you know, if you're subject to the invitation, who's actually doing the invitation? And you know who does the inviting. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It absolutely makes all the difference in the world. You know, there are some people that, you know, they invite you to come do something, you know, invite you to go over to here, or go out over there or something, come over to your house or whatever. And you're just like, that's okay, I'll pass. And because maybe there's not that close of a relationship or whatever reason, or maybe you just, you have no connection with that person. And you know, if a complete stranger comes up and says, hey, come over to my house for dinner. Okay. Pass. But, you know, if my mamaw, because I love her so very much, if she invites me to do something, even if it's come over and clean the gutters, and thankfully she has, like, she lives in a condo and they have people do that for her, so she never asks me to do that. But if she invites me to do anything, yeah, I'm going to do it because she's my mamaw and I love her. She's special to me. And that's the point, that whoever is doing the inviting does make all the difference in the world. And with that said, we have to ask ourselves, you know, who is doing the inviting in the invitation? Well, in our initial reading here in verse 17, we see that it is the bride who does the inviting. There in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Now, this is an interesting question. Who is the bride that is being talked about here? Earlier in chapter 21, we talk about how the bride, you know, the angel says, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb? You go back to chapter 4, you see there, chapter 5, you see that that's Jesus. And okay, who is the bride of Christ? You go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 5, and you look at verses 22 through 33, and you see that the bride is the church. In verse 25, just starting verse 23, for the husband of the head is the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, the point that is made right there in this passage is that the church is the bride of Christ. And therefore, when we go and we talk about the invitation, who is doing the inviting? It is very much the church who is doing the inviting to all who will hear. Now, with that said, I want us to understand, and I think this is very important that we all understand this, that the invitation does not originate with the church. You know, when somebody gets up here and they say, if you're subject to the invitation, please come forward, whatever. It's not the invitation of the Manslick Road Church of Christ. It's not the invitation of Curtis Carwile or whoever else stands up here. It's not the invitation. We're merely just a part of the vehicle. We're extending the invitation. That's all anyone up here is doing. We're extending the invitation from whom the invitation originally comes. And that, of course, is God. God ultimately is the one who is doing the inviting in the invitation. And he is doing this not just in some personal, miraculous way that a lot of people have. You know, they feel like Jesus is coming or the Holy Spirit has come in and they have invited me into the kingdom of God and anything like that. No. How does God invite us? He does that through Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Notice what Peter says there by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says this, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, talk about that in a moment, by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God calls us through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. It is by Jesus Christ that we are invited, that everyone is invited, that anyone is invited. And it is also through the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice with me in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. How we are called. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We read this. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. Folks, I want us to be clear about this. That we are not called in some modern day miraculous way that people in the religious world think that we're called. We're not invited in any sort of way like that. But rather, the way that we are invited is by Jesus Christ, through his gospel. And so when anyone ever gets up here, whenever anyone gets up here and does anything like this, and they give the invitation, all we are doing is extending the invitation of God by Jesus through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, when you think about this, and you think about this, you think about the fact that God is doing the inviting. You know, it may be special that the Manslick Road Church of Christ invites someone to come to God through Jesus Christ. It might be special. It might be special, I don't know why. It might be special to someone that I am inviting someone to God through Jesus Christ. But universally, that's not going to be the case. However, when we are talking about God, that he is the one who is doing the inviting, he is special to everyone. Not just here in this building, not just in this city, not just in this state, not just in this nation, not just in this hemisphere, not just in this world at this time. He is special to everyone, everywhere, at all time. And that is what makes the invitation that God offers so incredibly special. It's so incredibly special, this invitation that we extend every time we come together. It is the most special thing ever. And with that said, let's talk a little bit more about this invitation. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about to where he is inviting. To where does God invite? You know, this is just as important as who is doing the inviting. You know, where to do what is just as important. You know, if somebody says, hey, Curtis, let's go out to Golden Corral. I'm going to pass on that because that's not all that special to me. I know that may be to some people. I apologize if I offend you. But hopefully that won't offend anybody. But you know, if somebody says, hey, let's go to Zaxby's, giddy up, let's go. Especially if it's Mamaw saying, no, she wants to do that. So, I mean, absolutely, we're already there. But to where you are being invited, and really from where you're being invited to wherever you're being invited, that's just as important. That's just as special. And it tends to your decision. And with that said, let's talk about to where God is inviting everyone by Jesus Christ through his gospel. Where is he inviting us? Folks, he's inviting us. I'm going to throw up four different things here. He's inviting everyone to exit darkness, to come out of darkness, to come out of sin, and to come into his light. You notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We read this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God is calling us by Jesus Christ through his gospel. He is calling us out of darkness. Now, when you read in the Bible, what is darkness? Darkness is always figuratively talking about sin. And God is calling us out of sin to come into his marvelous light, to come into his marvelous light. And folks, let us understand this. Sin is the most horrible thing in the entire world. That may be one of the biggest understatements a person could possibly make. But sin is the worst thing in the entire world. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, what does Isaiah say it does to us? Our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins have made him turn away to where he will not hear us. Our sin is horrible. And it is something, Romans 3 and verse 23, all of us have done, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned against God. All of us have separated ourselves from God. All of us have gone purposely into darkness, into sin. And God is calling us, get out of there. Get out of there. Come over here into my marvelous light. Into my marvelous light. God invites us to repent. You know, what did Jesus say in Matthew the 9th chapter and verse 13? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. If you were in sin, this is why Jesus came, to call sinners out of repentance. This is, again, we are called, we're invited by Jesus Christ through his gospel. This is part of the gospel. Get out of your sins and come have fellowship with God. We understand 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. We understand that this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We'll come to verse 7 here in just a moment. But God is in the light, and he is inviting us into the light. He is inviting us into his marvelous light, his presence, out of that ridiculous sin. He's inviting us to do that, to return to him in the light. He is inviting us also to leave enmity, to stop being his enemy, but to come have fellowship with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, what do we read there? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, by our Lord. This is what God wants through Jesus Christ. He wants us to come and have fellowship with him. He wants us to have fellowship with him. But if we are in our sins, if we are in our sins, can we have fellowship with him? We just read that in 1 John chapter 1. No, we can't. Because God is light and he can have no fellowship with darkness. If we are in darkness, we can't have fellowship with him. Matter of fact, if we are in sin, what does Paul tell us in Romans the 5th chapter in verses 6 through 11? Romans 5 verses 6 through 11. Church back home gets tired of me reading this because I read it about every week, multiple times, but it's just so important. Notice what he says there. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Do you see what that's saying, folks? That when we are in our sins, we are enemies of God. We are actively fighting against God. How stupid is that? How foolish is that, folks? God Almighty, that we are fighting against Him. And God says to us, basically, by Jesus Christ, through His gospel, knock it off. Come back and have fellowship with me through my Son, Jesus Christ. Be reconciled back through Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be cleansed of our sins. We can be cleansed of our sins and have fellowship with God again. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So in part, folks, the invitation involves the obtaining of fellowship by the washing away of our sins by His blood, which occurs when? How does someone get from here to there? How does someone get reconciled from sin to God? How does that happen? We just read it twice. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We notice in Revelation 1 and verse 5, Revelation 1 and verse 5, that to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, we need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. When does that occur? How do we get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? It's when we're baptized into the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Notice what Ananias said to Paul in Acts 22 and verse 16. Now arise, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you want to leave enmity with God, if you want to leave your sin, if you want to be reconciled back to God, you need to be baptized into His precious blood. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will be reconciled back to God and have fellowship with Him. And that is part of the invitation, folks. So that we can, Romans 9 and verse 25, become His people. So that we can, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, become His children once again. He is inviting us to do that. He is also inviting us, folks, to leave our slavery to sin. You know, in Romans chapter 6, we won't take the time to read all of this, but in Romans chapter 6, the point is made that when we are in sin, we can only choose to serve either sin or righteousness. And he goes on and talks about, you know, you are the one slave whom you obey in verse 16, whether it is sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. If we are in sin, we are slaves to sin, folks. Slaves. That is a horrible word, isn't it? Especially in this culture. And it's a word that nobody wants to be a slave. Who wants to be a slave? I know sometimes you go to work on Monday morning, and I'm sorry to bring that up, but sometimes you go, oh, I'm a slave to this job. No, you're not. You're not even close. But who wants to be a slave to sin? You know, it amazes me. Whenever I'm reading something about history, especially about the Civil War, and you read, you know, somebody advocating one side or the other, especially, you know, the South advocating, well, the slaves like it. They like being in slavery. And they'll always bring up the nice masters and whatever. you think about how horrible of a master sin is. Sin is a horrible master. And we are enslaved to sin when we are in our sins. It's a horrible thing. Absolutely horrible. But God, by Jesus Christ, through His gospel, invites us out of slavery. What a thought, being invited out of slavery. It's almost laughable. But He invites us out of slavery and into what? Into His house. Into His house to become a child. Become no longer a servant, but an adopted heir of the promises, as Paul talks about in Galatians, the fourth chapter. It's an amazing thought. God invites us to no longer be in slavery to sin, but to live in peace and to live in rest, to live in liberty. Because, let's face it, folks, when we are in our sins, we have no rest. We have no rest. We have no peace. We are slaves. We don't get to do what we want to do. How many times does this happen in our lives? When we are in our sins, and we can't sleep. Because that guilt is weighing on us. How much does that affect our everyday lives? We're slaves to it. But by Jesus Christ, through His gospel, God invites us out of that slavery so that we can have rest. What does Jesus say in Matthew, the 11th chapter? In verse 28, all you who are weary, what? All come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is offering rest from that slavery to sin. He is offering us peace. We understand 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15, the end of that verse. Even though this is not necessarily what it's talking about there in that passage, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15, we notice that God has called us to peace. And it is not just any old peace, a peace that is going to last for a short period of time. It's really just a cessation, or it's not a cessation of aggression, as often peaces are in this world. But it is, as we see here in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7, a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is the peace to which He offers to us. And we have liberty, is what He offers to us. Galatians 5 and verse 13. But you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is what God invites us by Jesus Christ to. He invites us. He invites us. For all of us, to leave our sin, but to enjoy the life without it. And to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, live in holiness. He also invites us, one other thing. Invites us to leave eternal destruction and enter into eternal life. Folks, do we understand that when we are in our sins, we are by nature children of wrath? This is Paul's point in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. But by grace we have been saved through faith. When we are in our sins, we are subject to the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? When Jesus comes back, When Jesus returns, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, notice, who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not accept the invitation. Those who still are in their sins. What's going to happen? God's going to take vengeance on them. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified among his saints. When we are in our sins, folks, when we are not obeying the gospel invitation, we are doomed to eternal damnation. But the invitation is for all those who believe and obey to inherit eternal life in heaven. It's the invitation for everyone to believe and to obey the gospel, to fight for the good fight, and to lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. To lay hold of eternal life. The eternal life that is promised to all those who obey the invitation of Jesus Christ. Folks, when we get up here and we extend the invitation of God, this is what we're inviting. This is what God invites everyone to do. This is the invitation. For everyone who is still in their sins, to everyone who is still at enmity with God, everyone who is still in slavery to God, everyone who is still in fear of the eternal judgment of God, to get out of that sin through Jesus Christ and to come into his fellowship, to receive the forgiveness of sins by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. For the remission of those sins, so that we can have fellowship with God now and forevermore. This is the invitation, folks. This is what God is inviting us to do. This is what the whole Bible is all about. This is it. This is the invitation. And folks, let me just say this. If you are still in your sins, if you are still in your sins, meaning that you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, for whatever reason, or maybe you've returned to your sin like some dog returning to his vomit, as Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2, you are subject to the invitation. When we ask the question, are you subject to the invitation? If you're in your sins, you are subject to the invitation to leave sin, to go to God through Jesus Christ, and to stay there. To answer the invitation of Jesus Christ, of God by Jesus Christ through his gospel. And with that said, you need to answer the invitation. How do you do that? Very quickly, how do you do that? You need to understand the honor of this invitation. We don't have the time to read these passages, but I encourage you to look at Matthew chapter 22 in verses 1 through 14 in the parable of that great feast. There were people who did not understand the honor of that invitation that the king had offered to certain people. What happened to them? They were killed and their cities were burned to the ground. And even those who came and they were not properly prepared, get out to a place of weeping, gnashing of teeth. It is a special thing, folks. This is a special invitation. who is inviting us, to where he is inviting us. The invitation is the most special thing in the world. And we need to understand the honor of this invitation, that he is inviting us. He's inviting me and you to leave that sin, to come to God, to have that fellowship. We need to understand that honor. And we also need to not delay when we hear it. You notice in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 21 through and 22, that when Peter, James, Andrew, and John, when they were invited to follow Jesus, what did they do? They dropped their nets, what they were doing, and left to follow Jesus. Do not delay in answering the invitation. Accept it by repenting. Repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins. We understand that in Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. If you believe, if you only believe, if you don't believe, you're on this side. If you believe and are baptized, you're over here. If you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, as Peter tells those on Pentecost to do in Acts 2 and verse 38, you're on this side. What does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21? There is also an antitype which now does save us, baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent and be baptized in order to accept the invitation. And folks, once we have accepted it, let us remain faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us to remain faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I will give you the crown of life. We need to remain faithful unto death. And what else do we need to do? We need to invite other people. Because it's not just for us. The invitation, the gospel message, it is not just for me. It is not just for Randy. It's not just for Kirby. It's not just for the people in this building. It's for everybody. And that is why Jesus told his disciples in Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. We need to preach the gospel and invite them to come out of their sins and into the blood of, or into the fellowship with God. And finally, Revelation 22 and verse 20. One of the last things we read at the beginning of this lesson. What do we need to do? We need to pray for Lord Jesus to come. Invite him to come back. And call us all to the judgment and call the faithful home. This is the invitation, folks. This is the invitation of the entire Bible. So with that said, we close this morning. We close this morning's lesson by asking the question, are you subject to the invitation? If you are, then answer that invitation today with, I am coming, Lord, right now. And if you're subject to the invitation in any way, shape, or form, and you're ready to make your life right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, let it be known by coming to the front right now as we stand and as we sing.